Now, there's no doubt of the big parliamentary event this week.
The ayes to the right, 292. The noes to the left, 334.
Yes, the first full-dress coalition split in a Commons vote, with Tory ministers voting in one lobby and Lib Dem ministers in the other, as a majority of MPs voted to postpone changes to parliamentary boundaries till after the next election. On the face of it, this is a technical issue, but it could be the key to who governs Britain after that next election. It's been estimated that changing the system so that nearly all MPs represent more or less the same number of voters could be worth an extra 20 seats to the Conservatives, potentially a decisive margin. The Lib Dems had supported the changes, but they changed their minds after Tory MPs blocked their cherished plan to have an elected House of Lords. So when the Lords amended the Electoral Registration and Administration Bill to postpone those boundary changes, and the Commons debated whether or not to accept that, revenge was sweet for Lib Dem MP John Thurso.
I would just gently point out to my friends on these benches, in the mildest manner possible, that they've got what they wanted. The great, the good, the wise, the academic, the apolitical, the ex-public servants and the generals, who they strove so hard to protect, have come together in their wisdom and given us Amendment 5. I beg the House...
Some hard words were exchanged across the coalition benches. This was the Conservative, Michael Fabricant.
The Deputy Prime Minister made it very clear back in 2010, speaking in this chamber, when he talked about the boundary review, and he said he established... or rather, this is established on the simple principle of fairness, with all votes being of equal worth. So, do the Lib Dems not do principle on the 29th of the month, or is it just on Tuesdays?
But speaking afterwards, Mr. Fabricant doubted the bad blood would persist and poison the working of the coalition.
Well, you know, I was pretty strong when I made my comments about the Lib Dems on the night, but, you know, the following morning... still chatting with them as if we're friends. And, frankly, it's politics, isn't it? I mean, I still believe that the Lib Dems behave badly, but nevertheless, you know, it's in both our parties' interests to get on and just work together.
The Lib Dem John Thurso said he did his best to avoid rubbing salt into the wound.
I wanted to put forward our argument. I thought the points we had were good ones on all of the three main issues, both in terms of whether it was in order or not, what the substance of the amendment was, but also about what I euphemistically call the wider coalition issues. And I wanted to get those in, and so I was very happy to accommodate people. My feeling is, by doing that, by not refusing to take interventions, that actually took a lot of the sting out of it. And I have to say, many of them, particularly towards the end, from people I've worked with, were... if hard, they were at least friendly.
But on the Conservative benches, where there's considerable concern that they'll now be disadvantaged at the next election, some MPs do nurse a sense of betrayal. This was Sir Paul Beresford.
The deceit, as I see it, by the Liberals and by the Labour Party is quite extraordinary. It's traditional that when the boundary changes come through from the Boundary Commission, which is independent, that we put them through. And the last time this happened, I voted for it, but in effect I lost my seat and I had to go and look for another seat, which I did. The situation now is that where we were going to get a balance of seats, in other words, the numbers of electorates in each constituency would be roughly the same, instead of being very drastically out of step as they are at the moment, and that we would, like most firms of this country, reduce the number of MPs from 650 to 600, they turned it down on a whim.
There's not at the moment an obvious opportunity for blue vengeance, but relationships have been damaged.
It's a lot frostier than it was. I think it will calm a little because we will have to work together. It's certainly poisoned for a very long time and memories will be long. And if the opportunity comes, I suspect there'll be a great temptation. Revenge is always much sweeter in the coolness of consideration of time, and I'm prepared to wait. I'm also prepared and will really work actively to make sure we get our revenge out there in the county elections this May and in the district and borough elections the following year.
But, says John Thurso, there's no prospect of the coalition breaking up.
They kicked us, we kicked them, and everybody goes, OK, now let's grow up and get on with it and get back to the original idea, which is to sort the economy out.
But what the coalition couldn't afford, says Conservative Rob Wilson, is a pattern of one party or another voting with opposition parties to defeat their partner in government. If the Lib Dems, for example, sided with Labour on issues outside the coalition deal, like press regulation or gay marriage.
I think that the government would be very loath to see that, both on the Liberal Democrat and the Conservative side, to see that arise as a trend, because that would cause ongoing difficulties in day-to-day government, because you'd never have any certainty on any issue. Both Nick Clegg and David Cameron would be very keen with their whips to see that that doesn't happen. I do think there will be a certain variability in the size of majorities, in that we have some difficult subjects to discuss. Although gay marriage is a difficult subject, it's a free vote, but it may be some welfare things, some budget things, where you see some Liberal Democrats, possibly even a few Conservatives, voting in a slightly different way. But I don't think it will affect the majority, other than making it slightly smaller.
Rob Wilson. Meanwhile, another guerrilla battle was fought out in Westminster Hall, the Commons.